I want to give you a simple little thought tonight, hopefully something that will be an encouragement. Sometimes we say we want to be an encouragement to you, and we preach a message, and you think, how in the world was that an encouragement? But if you stop and think about everything that comes out of the Word of God, it can be an encouragement to you. You say, what do you mean by that? It doesn't matter if it's convicting or not. It can be an encouragement to help us, to keep us in the right way and to do the right thing. And so I hope this message will be that to you tonight. And grab your Bible and turn to 1 Samuel chapter 26. We do have a table set up outside. Of course, the only thing we carry is mercy and truth. So honestly, that's what we carry is mercy and truth. And I'm carrying Bibles now. So we've got some Bibles out there. Some of you have already stopped by and grabbed some of them. And they're very reduced rates, prices on them. And if you're looking for a Bible or need a Bible, we got some study Bibles. We got some super giant print Bibles. Those sell faster than any Bible I put on that table, the super giant print. Even the young people buy those things. And then giant print Bibles and things like that. And some smaller ones. I don't know how the kids read the little kids' Bibles, but anyway. We'll be back out there afterwards if you're interested in anything. I want to look for a few moments today at about one of the most trying times in the life of the man after God's own heart, the man David. If we would go back and lead into this, we could go all the way back and go back to chapter 18, and you'd find that passage where Saul's jealousy began to erupt, and he got so upset with David. And in chapter 19, Saul tried to kill David with the javelin. And if you remember, also right after that, in 1 Samuel chapter 20, Saul tries to kill his own son, Jonathan, with the javelin also. Why? Because of his jealousy. Boy, that's a whole nother message, but I'm telling you, jealousy is the rage of a man for sure. Amen? And then in 1 Samuel 22, we see the priest of Nob that were slain when David was fleeing from the presence of Saul because Saul was going to kill him, and or Saul had set out to kill him. And then we... The priests at Nob helped David out there, and they got the spear of Goliath, but it was told to Saul, and Saul came and his men, and they killed and slew all the priests there. And then David in Keilah in 1 Samuel chapter 23, and that passage tells us that David was hid there in Keilah with his men, and Saul heard that he was there, and he made that bold statement, God hath delivered him into my hand, for he hath entered into a town that hath gates and bars. And Saul went after David there to try to kill him there in Keilah. And then in 1 Samuel 24, David's in Gedi in the cave of Adullam. If you remember that story where he cuts off the hem of Saul's skirt, his garment there, and his heart smote him that he even did that. I mean, David always stayed on the up and up. He always tried to be on the top side of things. But it's really tough when somebody's after you like Saul was after him. It's really tough when you're going through these difficult times. And we see in 1 Samuel chapter 26, I believe that's where I ask you to turn, we see this passage of Scripture, and David is in the wilderness in Ziph. And we'll just read a few of the verses. What happens is, look in verse number 5. David arose and came to the place where Saul had pitched, and David beheld the place where Saul lay, and Abner the son of Ner, the captain of the host. And Saul lay in the trench, and the people pitched round about him. And David then answered David and said to Ahimelech the Hittite and to Abishai the son of Zeruiah, brother to Joab, saying, who will go down with me to Saul to the camp? And Abishai said, I will go down with thee. So David and Abishai came to the people by night, and behold, Saul lay sleeping within the trench, and his spear stuck in the ground at his bolster. But Abner and the people lay round about. And then said Abishai to David, God hath delivered thine enemy in thine hand this day. Now therefore let me smite him, I pray thee, with the spear, even to the earth at once, and I will not smite him the second time. And David said to Abishai, destroy him not, for who can stretch forth his hand against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless? I mean, this guy's trying to kill him, and yet he's still trying to take the high road. He's still trying to do the thing that's right. And if we continue to read, you know what happens. He says, go ahead and take his spear and take the cruse of water, and let's go. And God had caused a sleep to fall on everybody, and they go across and get a ways away from him, and then they holler back over at him and let him know that that they're there. And when Saul recognizes David's voice, he calls out and he says, is that you, David, my son David? And he said, yes, it is. And I'm paraphrasing some things here, of course. And skip down, if you would, to verse number let's look at verse number 21. It says, "Then said Saul, I have sinned. Return, my son David, for I will no more do thee harm, because my soul was precious in thine eyes this day. Behold, I have played the fool, and have erred exceedingly." And David answered and said, "Behold the king's spear, and let one of the young men come over and fetch it." The Lord rendered every man his righteousness and his faithfulness, for the Lord delivered thee into my hand today, but I would not stretch forth mine hand against the Lord's anointed. And behold, as thy life was much set by this day in mine eyes, so let my life be much set by in the eyes of the Lord, and let him deliver me out of all tribulation." And then Saul said to David, "Blessed be thou, my son David. Thou shalt both do great things, and also shalt still prevail." So David went on his way, and Saul returned to his place. Now we can only fathom what's been going on for these number of years that Saul has been after him, trying to kill him and trying to destroy him. Just let's take it and think about it in the light of who we are, of a trial and a tribulation going on in our life, and it goes on for a long time, and it continues for a long time. I've shared the story of my childhood here and the abuse that we grew up under, and how my father wanted to kill us, and at one time was going to kill both of my sisters, and I had to try to intervene to stop that when I was in the military, and just a crazy story. But for 8 years, his desire was he disowned them, and he wanted to kill them. And I prayed and prayed and prayed, and the family prayed and prayed. 8 years of battling up and down through this, and so I'm just giving you something to try to attach to in your mind, maybe something that you've battled through, something that you've gone through, some hardship that just continues on. That's what's going on in David's life here. And I don't know if there's somebody here tonight going through the same kind of thing. But here's a dangerous thing that David did. This is a man after God's own heart. This is a good man. This is a godly man. This is a man that loves the Lord. There's no question about it. But notice what he does in chapter 27 and verse 1. David said in his heart, "I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. There's nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape into the hand and the land of the Philistines. And Saul shall despair of me to seek me any more in any coast of Israel. So shall I escape out of his hand." I mean, what in the world are you thinking, David? You're going to defect to the enemy? I mean, the ones who you already defected to him one time before, and it created a huge stir. You really think that they're going to spare your life if you go back there this time? I mean, you're willing to go to the enemy and live with them, and you're making yourself believe that this is the only way out of it? By the way, God's already told him, we'll look at the verse here in a moment, God's already told him back in chapter 23, he's already been told by other people, you know, God's hand's on you, you're the king, you're going to be the king, and God's already told him he was going to be the king. You say, what in the world's going on? What are you thinking? Well, I'll tell you what he was thinking. The same thing that you and I do when we go through the times of great trial and lengthy hardships in our life. When we begin to say, this just isn't working out. You know, this Christian life thing, it just doesn't seem to be working. You know what? God, where are you at? I mean, look what I'm going through. Lord, what's going on here? Well, maybe I should just go ahead and listen to my own heart. Follow what my heart tells me I'm supposed to do. Therein was the big issue. What do you mean? It says there at the beginning of the verse, and David said in his heart. What I want to speak about for just a few moments tonight is this simple little thought. What happens when you begin listening to or following your own heart? Boy, does it get you in a lot of trouble. Let's bow for a word of prayer and we'll look at the simple thought tonight. Lord, thank you again for the privilege to be here tonight. Thank you for this dear church, Lord, and thank you for their faithfulness to us, Father. And I pray that you would help me tonight to be able to be a blessing to your people. Oh, Lord, I know that'll only happen if you hide me behind the cross, and I pray that the power and truth of your word would accomplish what you long for it to do tonight, what you set out for it to do. And Lord, just have your will and your way, and we'll be careful to give you the honor and the glory and the praise you alone deserve. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. You know, it says in Proverbs 14 and verse 12 and Proverbs 16 and verse 25, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. It says that, reiterates it twice there, just one word's change. There is a way which, or there is a way that. But then also there's a couple other verses that are very important for us to remember. Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse number 9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Now, what in the world are we doing listening to our own heart when we're going through troubles and trials and hardships in our life? God says that that heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Man, I've heard preachers say this before, and I don't know how they come across this, but they say, you know what, the regenerated heart of a saved man is not deceitful. I don't know how you're going to prove that from the scriptures, because the seat of who we are, the seat of the natural man, is deceitful and wicked. We need to be very, very careful that we don't listen to that heart when it's trying to tell us to do the things that we know we haven't even counseled with the Lord about, or tried to find out what God wants us to do. What about this one? Proverbs, turn here, underline this one in your Bible if you would. Proverbs 29, even if you don't have the practice of underlining in your Bible, I'm going to ask you, please underline this in your Bible. I've got it underlined in my Bible. I think this is one of the most important verses for us to remember as a child of God if we're going to go forward and if we're going to accomplish anything in this life. If we're going to do what God wants us to do. It says in Proverbs chapter 28 and verse number 26. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. But whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. Amen. Man, God, that's the word of God. Be careful about listening to your own heart. You're a fool if you listen to your own heart. Your heart's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You know, the heart of man has been a problem since the beginning of time. Amen. Let's look back for a moment. Look back in Genesis chapter 6 with me. Genesis chapter number 6. Notice what it says here in Genesis chapter 6 right before God raises Noah up to build the ark to spare man, basically. And it says here in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. Notice what it says. And that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. When you're talking about, hey, that's what caused the destruction by the flood. That's what brought it upon. What? Hey, the imaginations of the thoughts of the heart of man. We have to be so careful about listening to our own heart. Every time that it says somebody in the Bible said in their own heart, it's not a good thing. Let me just show you a few of them. Look over in Genesis chapter 17. Look at Genesis chapter 17. Notice what it says here. This is the story of Abraham. And this is when God is trying to get them to listen to him, that they're going to have a child. And of course, I understand Abraham is way up there in years and his wife's way up there in years. But notice what it says here in verse 15. And God said unto Abraham, as for Sarai, thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed. And notice what it says. And said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? You know, before Sarah ever laughed about this thing, Abraham laughed about it. And Abraham laughed in his own heart and said in his own heart. He questioned God in his own heart about this thing about being able to have this child. You know, usually when we're listening in our own heart, that's what we're doing, is we're questioning God. We're questioning what the Lord's allowing, what's happening in our life. How about this one? Genesis chapter 27. Here's another one that says when a person said something in their own heart. In Genesis chapter 27, you know the story. Jacob and Esau. And you know what's happened, and you know that that Esau has sold his birthright, and Jacob has deceived him in taking that birthright, but more so, Esau gave it up pretty willfully. But notice what he says here at the end of this in chapter 27 and in verse number 41, and Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him, and Esau said in his heart, the days of mourning for my father at hand, then will I slay my brother Jacob. Well, you know, where does all the murder and the treachery and the evil and where does all this come from? It comes from right here. It comes from the heart of man. So why in the world would we as children of God want to listen to our own heart or say in our own heart or start following our own heart? We need to be very, very careful about it. How about this? Over in 1 Kings chapter 12, this is a king that was not one of the better kings, but 1 Kings chapter 12, notice what it says about this guy. And this, if you know anything about him, this is Jeroboam. And of course, he led the northern kingdom. 1 Kings chapter 12, and notice what it says here in verse number, see if I can get the right page here. It says in verse 24, it says, thus saith the Lord, you shall not go up nor fight against your brethren, the children of Israel. Return every man to his house, for this thing is from me. They hearkened therefore to the word of the Lord and returned to depart according to the word of the Lord. And then Jeroboam built Shechem in Mount Ephraim and dwelt therein and went out from thence and built Penuel. And Jeroboam said in his heart, now shall the kingdom return to the house of David. If this people go up to do sacrifice in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem, then shall the heart of this people turn again unto their Lord, even unto Rehoboam, king of Judah, and they shall kill me and go again to Rehoboam, king of Judah. I mean, he got this thing all figured out in his mind. Wait a minute. You know what's going to happen here? If they build this, everybody's going to turn. Everybody's going to go back down to Rehoboam, and I'm going to end up killed. And this is what he said in his own heart. Well, how many times do we talk like that? You know, and I'm getting a little ahead of myself here, but, you know, we got it all figured out. And it never ends up turning out the way we think it's going to turn out. Amen. How about it tells us, I'm not going to turn there, but it tells us in Esther chapter 6 and 7 about that old wicked man Haman. You know, Haman, the one who wanted to kill all the Jews and kill Mordecai and have them all slain. And when the king came down and when he remembered what Mordecai had done and warning them, and he wanted to do something good for him, and he proposed, you know, what should I do for the person that I would want to bless? And it said, and Haman said in his heart, who would he want to bless more than me? And so he said, give him the royal apparel, give him the king's ring, give him and basically give him a parade and do all these other things. And then he found out it was for Mordecai. Amen. But he got thinking in his heart that it was all about him. Boy, that's another dangerous thing when we start thinking that we're something better than what we really are. Amen. And a lot of times we get thinking that we're doing pretty good or doing all right. How about this one? How about, turn over to Psalm 10 real quick. Look at Psalm 10. The message is really short when I give you these 4 points. It's not going to be that long. I'm just giving you a little bit of introductory stuff here. In Psalm chapter 10, or Psalm 10, I should say, not chapter, Psalm 10. And notice what it says here about the wicked. Verse number 6, he hath said in his heart, I shall not be moved, for I shall never be in adversity. Verse number 11, he hath said in his heart, God hath forgotten. He hideth his face. He will never see it. Yeah, that's what the wicked thinks. God doesn't see anything they're doing. What about verse number 13? Wherefore doth the wicked contemn God? He hath said in his heart, thou wilt not require it. And the wicked doesn't think that there's going to be any judgment for what they do. They think that they're going to get by with what they're going to get by with. It also says in Psalm 14:1 that the fool hath said in his heart that there is no God. Amen. And again, it repeats it in Psalm 53 and verse 1. Hey, look at one more real quick. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter number 2. Here's the wisest man that ever lived. The wisest man that ever lived. But notice what it says about him. In Ecclesiastes chapter 2, and of course you know the book of Ecclesiastes was written after Solomon had gotten away from God and had lived away from him in wickedness in his life. But here's what it says here. Chapter 2 and verse 1, I said in mine heart, go to now, I will prove thee with mirth, therefore enjoy pleasure. And behold, this also is vanity. I said, of laughter it is mad, and of mirth what doeth it? I sought in mine heart to give myself unto wine, yet acquainting my heart with wisdom, and to lay hold on folly till I might see what was that good for the sons of men which they should do under heaven all the days of my life. Then he goes into that passage where all those personal pronouns, I made me great works, I builded me houses, I planted me vineyards, I made me gardens and orchards, and I planted trees of all in them of all kinds of fruit. And it goes on and talks about all the things that he did for himself. And you know what it says down at the end of it in verse 11? He says, when it was all done, he realized it was all vanity and vexation. And go on down there in verse number 17, it says that he even hated life. Where did all this come from? Where did all the thoughts to do this thing come? It came from his heart. He said in his heart. He thought in his heart. Now let's just go back, and I want to give you four things, and look back, if you would, at 1 Samuel chapter 27 one more time. And I want to give you four things that we do when we begin to listen to or follow our own heart. 1 Samuel chapter 27. Actually, 1 Samuel 27 verse 1, and then also grab chapter 24 and verse 20. 1 Samuel 27, 1. Notice what it says. I'll give it to you and then we'll read these verses. First thing that we do when we begin to listen to or follow our own heart, really simple. This is real deep now. I don't know if you can grab a hold of it or not. We stop listening to God. When you start listening to your own heart, you're not listening to God anymore. You're planning it your own way and you're going to do your own thing. He says here in verse 1, as we read, and David said in his heart, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. Where did that come from? It came from his own heart. Because back in chapter 24, notice what it says here in verse number 20, and now behold, I know well, this is Saul, I know well that thou shalt be king, and that the kingdom of Israel shall be established in thine hand. Swear now therefore unto me by the Lord that thou wilt not cut off my seed after me, and that thou wilt not destroy my name out of my father's house. And David swore unto Saul, and Saul went home, but David and his men got them up into the hold. Hey, he already knew through Saul, who told him that God had told him, he knew he was going to be the king. But he spoke in his own heart and said, you know what, I'm going to die by the hand of Saul one day. See, when we start listening to our own heart, we stop listening to God. There's many other people that did that also in the Bible. What about Jonah? Jonah, God said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go down to preach to the people in Nineveh. Do what? I'm not going to go there. You know what he did? He stopped listening to God and started listening to his own heart. It's better for me that I don't go down to Nineveh. It's better me that I don't preach. If I go down there, I might die. If this these things might happen in my life, man, the mind begins to run and begins to roll. How about another one? How about Saul himself? You know, Saul tried to figure everything out on his own, you know, begin to speak in his own. If we went back to the beginning of Saul's demise, you'd find out there in chapter 13 that they were getting ready for a battle, and he was supposed to wait for Samuel to come down and offer up the offering. And guess what? He decided, you know what? This ain't happening the way God said it was going to happen, so I've got to go ahead and offer up the offering. Bad mistake. Bad mistake, because that was one of the first things that God went back to when he said, you know what, I've taken the kingdom away from you. What did he do? He started listening to his own heart. You know what, Samuel isn't here. This thing has to happen. I got to do what I got to do. Wait a minute, you're not supposed to do that. God's already told you who's supposed to be, who the priest is and who was supposed to do that service there. How about Elijah? Think about Elijah. When Elijah came to that place in his life that he said, I'm the only one left. Nobody else cares. Nobody else. God said, wait a minute, I've reserved 7,000. I've got all these people that are still serving me. They're still faithful to me. But no, Elijah said in his own heart, and you know what ended up happening to Elijah. He got taken up in a whirlwind, but God stopped using him. And Elijah's coming back one day. And Elijah's going to be used to the Lord. But the truth is, I wonder how much more God would have done had he not started listening to his own heart and stopped listening to God. Elijah lived out the last 10 to 12 years of his life with God not speaking with him except for one or two occasions that we see in Scripture. Why? Because he started listening to his own heart. I was just in a church preaching meeting down in Arkansas at the end of the year, and there was some young 20-ish, 23, 24, 25-year-old young people that came to the services, to the revival services. And they ended up, there was a girl and her boyfriend, and the girl claimed to be saved, and but the boyfriend ended up getting saved at the revival meeting. And they came back every night. They came every night to the revival meeting. And then on Saturday, I went with the assistant pastor, and we went out to do some visiting on the people that had come to the meeting and all. And we went to their house, and we knocked on the door and began to talk with her. And we could tell that, I mean, this was a young couple in a desperate situation in their life. And so this young lady, her name was Lakin, she began to share the story of her life with me. She was raised in a preacher's home. Her daddy was a preacher, but her daddy did some terrible things. She ended up getting removed from the home because of those things that her dad had done to her. She ended up living with her grandma and grandpa. But grandma and grandpa, she said, took me to a good church, and her daddy was in a denomination that we wouldn't have followed. But her grandma and grandpa took her to a good church. The preacher preached the truth. She said, but I got so bitter because of things that had gone the way that I didn't think that they should go in life, and because I felt like I had, you know, God had let these things happen to me, I just began to turn against the things that I knew were right. She said, I just stopped listening to God. And then she began to weep and sob. And she began to share the rest of the story of her life up to this point, and how that she had gotten married. Married somebody that she should have never married. Ended up having a couple children. She ended up getting involved in drugs. He ended up divorcing her and leaving her and taking the kids away from her. She doesn't get to see the kids now. But she sat there sobbing and crying. And she said to me, Brother Martin, I just wish I could go back. Because I knew what was right, but I didn't follow it. I knew the things that was right, but I started doing what I wanted to do. That's exactly what we're talking about here. I mean, where are you at tonight? Are you listening to your own heart? Are you following what your heart's telling you, or are you listening to God tonight? There's a fine line there. Preacher, how many times have you had somebody come to you and say, Preacher, I just know in my heart this is what I'm supposed to do. Be careful what you say. Well, I just know in my heart this is what I'm supposed to do. No, wait a minute. How do you know that this is the thing that you're supposed to do? Do you got scripture for it? Do you got the counsel of the men of God? Do you know that this is really know spiritually, scripturally, this is what you're supposed to do? Or is it just something that your own heart's telling you? Boy, you better be careful. Because if you're not, you may end up following your own way, and you just cut God off. God's not able to speak to you. Second thing is this. Not only do we, when we begin listening to our own heart, do we stop listening to God, but second thing is we start making our own plans. We start making our own plans. He said there in verse number 1, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines, and Saul shall despair of me to seek me any more in any coast of Israel, and so shall I escape out of his hand. He began figuring it all out himself and what he was going to do and how he was going to accomplish it and everything, because he's not listening to God anymore. Look back at a couple of verses, if you would. Look back in Proverbs chapter 16. A very powerful verse. Proverbs chapter 16. Notice what it says here. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse number 9. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. That's an interesting verse. A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. What's that verse saying here? Well, it's a contrast of things. A man's heart deviseth his way. You know what that word deviseth means? Look, check it out, look it up. It means to contrive, to plot out, to plan. That's what the heart of man does. But in contrast to that, it says, but wait a minute. The Lord's the one that directs your steps. Wouldn't it be a whole lot better for us to be careful and not listen to our own heart and plot out things in our life and just follow what God has for us rather than trying to do it on our own way and the way we want to come up with it? Boy, I see so many people living in heartache now because they've chosen to start making their own plans. Nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape. You know that those passages in Isaiah chapter 55 and in verse 8 and 9 there where it says that God says that his ways are not our ways and our ways are not his way and his thoughts are not our thoughts and vice versa. What do you mean? God's got a different plan of things. Amen? And the best thing that we can do is get on board with God's plans for our life and just trust God even when things aren't going the way that we think they ought to go or it doesn't look like they're going the way that we think they ought to go. We need to just listen to God and follow God. God already told David that he was going to be the king. Why in the world did David come to the place that he said, I'm not going to listen to you, God. I'm going to do my own thing now, and I'm going to follow my own plan and go my own way. Because he started listening to his own heart. I was thinking about a story. I probably should be careful how I describe this story. But I was in a church with a preacher. And the preacher told me a story about a young man that went through their church and came to their church and got saved there and began to grow. And the church had a little Bible Institute, and he started going to the Bible Institute. And this man, when he was going to the Institute, he felt like God wanted him to go off to a Bible college. And so the preacher started trying to help him with that, you know, and said, well, let me help you out. Let me give you some recommendations. Check these things out, and, you know, I'll work with you. I'll try to help you. And the young man went off and decided that he was going to go to a Bible college that his preacher said, oh, no, you don't want to go to that Bible college. And he goes, no, but I feel like that's what I'm supposed to do. This is the college that I believe God wants me to go to. And the preacher said, well, let me just tell you something. That college does not follow what we teach and what we believe. And doctrinally, you're going to find differences. And as far as I'm concerned, they're in error on some things. And you might get some good teaching, but there's going to be problems there. And he goes, well, you know what? I just feel like this is what I'm supposed to do. So preacher realized there was nothing else he's going to be able to do to try to help him. And he, you know, just let him go. He went off to that college and he graduated from that college. And when he graduated from the college, here's what this young man did. He decided that he was going to come back. And he, by the way, he broke off communication with his preacher. And he decided he was going to come back to the same area where their church was at, in the city where their church was, and he was going to start a church within 5-10 miles of his home church. Well, he was, of course, trying to do this on his own, you know, and by the way, the preacher contacted him when he came back. And he said, let me help you start a church. There's the area he's at, big enough city, I mean, you can start, there's areas that you could start one. Let me try to help you, and we'll do everything we can do. But this guy wanted to do it his own way, planned it out in his own self. Well, he didn't have a lot of money or anything, so he was having to work a job, and he was up on a roof one day and doing it, checking out a roof, and he fell off a roof backwards. 2-story roof. Got rushed to the emergency room in the hospital. This man had 4 or 5 children. Got rushed to the emergency room in the hospital. Guess who the first one there was to see him? His preacher. The injuries that he sustained were extremely severe injuries. Broken bones, broken leg, broken pelvic, internal damage to organs internally and everything. To the point where he was laid up in the hospital for a while, laid up in traction and things. And finally, the preacher kept going back and visit him. And the man got right and told the preacher, I'm so sorry. He wept about it. He said, I'm so sorry. I've made a mess of my life and everything. And when it got to the place where he could get out of the hospital, the preacher said, you know what? He said, man, I can't wait till you get to come back to church. And he said, man, I want to be back in church right now, preacher. They literally put a hospital bed in the church so that he could sit in the church, in the back of the church, in the hospital bed to hear the preaching. Amen. Amen. Well, I was there, and he had gotten sick again from the injuries, and they had taken him back in to run some tests on him. And I was there, my wife was there to preach for the church. And my wife was heading back home, and I was going on to another meeting, so we took her to the airport. We got to the airport, and the preacher got a phone call, and And he said, Brother Dan, he said, I got to go right now. I got to go. And I said, okay. I said, so I told my wife bye. She jumped on the plane. And he said, you're not going to believe it. But and he named the guy's name. And he said, they just called me and told me he passed away. I guess he had had a tear in his aorta when he fell. And it finally ruptured and blew. And he said, they haven't told the children yet. And they want me to come and be the one that tells them. He said, would you go with me? And I said, sure, I'll go with you. Preacher, I'll never forget that day walking in that room with four young girls and one little boy. And the preacher had to go in that room and sit down, and I sat down with him. And they were all just thinking that he was going to talk with them about something about their daddy. And he said, guys, I hate to be the one that has to tell you this, but daddy, you're not going to be able to see daddy again in this life. And they kind of looked at him strange, and he said, you see, daddy went home to heaven. And the girls that were old enough to understand it just started sobbing and crying. And that little boy, preacher, he just looked at him and stared, and his eyes got real big. And he just kept staring at him. And the preacher says, are you okay, son? Are you okay? And he goes, yes. He says, but he says, when is daddy coming back? When's he coming back? Man, I tell you, one of the hardest things that I've ever sat through in my life was to watch that thing tip. Why did all that have to happen? Because a guy started listening to his own heart, started making his own plans, not following the counsel, the men of God, the things that were placed before him, was going to do it his own way. And it ended up destroying his life. What are you saying, Brother Martin? You better be careful. Hey, how about this one? Here's one more. What happens when we begin listening to our own heart? Thirdly, we come up with our own conclusions. Boy, how often does this happen? Brother Kirtland, I'm telling you. I heard Brother Doug Fisher, pastor out in California, San Diego, California, preach a message one time. One of the best messages I've ever heard preached in my life. And he said, all you guys that are 25 years old and younger, I want you to stand up. And he had them all stand up. And he said, I'm preaching to you tonight. I want to try to help you, and I want to try to save you from a whole lot of heartache in your life. And he said, I want to preach to you a simple little thought. It's a prayer that I have learned to pray every morning when I wake up in the morning. And I pray this prayer, and I beg God to help me with this. And I want to teach you this little prayer, and I want to tell you why it's so important. And he said, here's the title of the message, and here's the prayer. Every morning when I get up, he said, I turn to the Lord and I pray this prayer. Dear Lord, protect me from me. Dear Lord, protect me from me. You say, what in the world was he talking about? Oh, he went through and told a lot of stories. He talked about how that he could convince himself things were happening when they weren't really happening. And that he began to contrive and concoct things in his mind as a pastor, as a man of God. Because he'd begin to think about things and listen to his own heart and begin following his own heart. And before you know it, he said, if I'm not careful, he said, I can be in church walking. He pastors a big church out there, Brother Fisher. He said, I can be walking down the hallway at the church, and he said, somebody will come by me, and they don't shake my hand, or they don't say hi to me. And he said, man, he said, in the next 20 minutes before I walk in to go to the pulpit, he said, I can convince myself that there's a conspiracy against me in the church. And he said, and I get in the pulpit, and I'm all upset because all these things are going on. He was just being transparent. And you know as well as I do that we go through the same things. You look at other people and things that happen, and you start believing that this is what's happening, that's what's happening, and this is what's happening. And listen, I'm telling you, perception most of the time is not reality. Think about it. The things that we perceive most of the times are not really truly reality. They don't become reality. We'll look at somebody and we'll say, well, this happened to them because of this, or that's happening because of this, or this. Be careful about what you're saying. And by the way, you know, everybody doesn't think like you think and like I think. Isn't it crazy how we can make ourselves believe that everybody thinks the same way I think and believes the same way I believe? No, they don't. Amen. What are you saying? I'm just saying, if we're not careful, we'll come up with our own conclusions. I shall now perish. Saul shall despair of me to seek me anymore. So shall I escape. What are you saying? I'm just saying, be careful, be careful. And the last thing is simply this. And this is the sad thing about it. In chapter 27 and verse number 2, notice what it says, 1 Samuel 27 and verse 2. It says, and David arose, and he passed over, what are the next five words? With the 600 men that were with him. You see, the last thing is when we begin listening to our own heart and following our own heart, we end up taking other people with us. David had 600 men that he was in charge of and that he was over. But when he began listening to his own heart, he began taking them down the same road that he was going down, whether they wanted to go down it or not. David arose and passed over with the 600 men. You know, I think about other people in scriptures that did the same thing. You think about Abraham and Lot. One of Abraham's big mistakes in life was when he went to Egypt. What did he do? He took Lot down there. And we blame Lot for all the things, but God talks about Lot being a just man too. And we blame Lot for all these wicked things that happened to him. But you read through that, and I'm telling you, there's so much depth in that about how the possessions that Lot got were from Egypt. And when his focus became on those things of Egypt, well, who took him there? Abraham. I think about the story of Naomi and Elimelech. You think about them and their life and what they did. I mean, there was a famine in the land and they decided, you know what? It's better for us to just leave the land and go down to the world. Moab is a picture of the world. To go to the world and just live it up there. Go there where there's blessings. It seems like there's blessings there. By the way, in your flesh, you'll always believe that the world has blessings for you that God doesn't believe are blessings. Amen. What are you saying? I'm just saying, what ended up happening with Elimelech and Naomi is they ended up taking their boys down there, and their boys married into a wicked tribe of people. And in God's mercy, God allowed Ruth to be somebody that turned to him. Listen, she would have been just as wicked as all of them had she not turned to him. Amen. But the truth of the matter was, their lives ended early. Elimelech's life was over with. Why? Well, they ended up taking off and following their own heart. It's a crazy, crazy little story here, but you say, well, what is the fine line between listening to your own heart and following the leading of the Lord? The fine line is the counsel of this book and the counsel of the men of God that God places in your life. That's the fine line. I can tell so many other stories about people that decided they were going to do things and went and did things and without seeking counsel, without having scripture for why they were doing what they were doing, ended up messing up their lives. You know, here's a good study for you. Look up the word inquired in the Bible. You're going to find out that the word inquired is used more times of David than any other person in the Bible. It's not used that many times, the word inquired, to inquire after. But the majority of the times that it's used, it's about David inquiring after the Lord. Why? Because he wanted to know what God wanted. And he wanted to stay on track with God. The only times we find that David followed or went down a path that he didn't inquire after the Lord, number one, it says that he inquired after Bathsheba. And the second one is this right here, when he began to inquire after his own heart. When you're saying, hey, best thing you can do is stay close to God. Stay close to his book. Stay grounded in his word and the truth of God's word. And then you won't listen to your own heart. You won't follow those things as readily. Listen to the counsel of the man of God that God puts in your life. Those that are more spiritual than you. You know, the Bible is very clear to tell us that in the multitude of counselors there's safety. Why is it that we always want to look for that one individual that will tell us what we want to hear? That's the way it always seems to go. If I could just find one person that'll tell me what my heart's saying, that's what I'm going to do. Oh, God, help us. Now, David, God was very merciful to David. And David ended up making it through. Even though he defected to Gath and to King Achish there and everything, God spared his life again. And he went on and he accomplished ventures for the Lord. And he became the king, of course, we know, and everything. But the story doesn't always end up that good. A lot of times the story ends up in heartache and sorrow when we begin listening to our own heart. Let me ask you tonight, who are you listening to and who are you following? Is it right here or is it there? Let's bow our heads and close our eyes.